This is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. You may be seated. We continue our series on beginnings, and I should have asked you to listen for a beginning in our gospel lesson, but in fact, you might have heard more than one if you were listening carefully. Today, God's word calls us back to a place that was very familiar to the people he was speaking to. He calls them back to the wilderness, to the River Jordan, where he was baptizing them. That was a big part of John's ministry. John is beginning his ministry. And again, he truly is inviting his fellow Israelites, who were God's chosen people, to a familiar place. They knew their story. They knew that they were God's chosen people. But the story of the Old Testament largely is a story that really not only does it teach us a great deal about God's people, but if we really pay attention, it's part of our story too. And in fact, we very much reflect what happens in the Old Testament. What happens is God creates human beings. He still does. He continues to create. That is what God does. But shortly, even after the creation, his crown of creation, Adam and Eve, fall into sin. They fall away from God. To a certain extent, anytime we sin, it is a turning away from God. But what happens throughout the history of Israel is it happens time and time again. We read about being God's favored people and things happen and they stray away from God. They're restored to God. They stray away from God. They're restored to God. John comes to restore Israel. Matthew talks about the fact that in John's day, his fellow people that he is preaching to are indeed lost sheep. That's confirmed in Matthew 10, verse 6, if you want to look it up. It's confirmed again in Matthew 15, 24. Even Jesus comes to the lost sheep of Israel. But they know their story. They know that they had the favor of God, and God came to rescue them from slavery in Egypt, to call them back, and to give them their own land. And they came to the Jordan River, where they miraculously crossed through it to the other side, to the wilderness, where they wandered for 40 years. So they're familiar with the story. They're familiar with John's invitation. It's truly an invitation to return to their roots, to their beginning, to return, to follow God. In fact, John's ministry says, repent, for the kingdom of God is near. What does that mean? Well, we know what happens immediately after that. In fact, John's mission in life was to be the forerunner of Christ, to introduce him, reintroduce him to their people. And John's call to repentance, when we hear the word repent, we think about confessing sins, which we've already done this morning. But what John is talking about here isn't simply a matter of repenting of our sin or confessing our sin. It's a matter of conversion. In fact, when they talk about Matthew talks about the fact that John is the one talked about in Isaiah 40, chapter 3, verse 3. In fact, what happens is he says he is the one who came to prepare the way of the Lord, to make his paths straight. In that, the road, the straight path, is the way of God. And so what John truly is inviting people to do, quit going your own way. Be converted. Understand that you are God's people once again, and get on the right road. Get out of the ditch. Quit being lost. You know the right path. And God will lead you again. And what is the result of John's ministry? Our text tells us that they came from all of Jerusalem and Judea and the whole area. They came out to John in the wilderness and were baptized by him in the Jordan River. John's ministry was wildly successful. He called them back to their roots and they listened. But then, John notices that many Pharisees and scribes, or Pharisees and Sadducees, are coming to him. And he says, "You brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bear fruit in keeping with repentance." And some of us might say, "John, what are you doing? That's not very welcoming. It's not very encouraging. Are you saying no to the Pharisees and scribes?" Which truly, for his fellow Israelites, would have been paramount to a crime. Because they all thought that the Pharisees were very upright people, and they were. Their desire was to keep God's law. In fact, their desire to keep God's law was so inherent in them that they made up their own laws in order to keep the laws of God. But they thought also that the law would save them. The Sadducees truly had the same problem. And what John does is he truly is a responsible servant of God. He indeed teaches the whole of the gospel. He not only talks about the fact that they're to return to their faith, but one is coming whose sandals I'm not even worthy to carry. And he's talking about Jesus. And he tells the complete gospel of Jesus Christ. We often don't like to deal with the whole gospel of Jesus Christ, because it tells us not only has Jesus come, and truly we've lived our whole lives in the reign of Christ, Jesus has already come. He's come for you, he's come for me, he's come for the whole world. Christ truly continues to reign in our life. We've only known the reign of Christ, but the gospel of Jesus Christ also promises that Jesus is coming again. and he's coming, and John paints this picture of Jesus with a winnowing fork in his hand, which separates the grain from the chaff. He's going to gather the grain into the barn, and the chaff is going to burn with unquenchable fire. John knows the heart of the Pharisees. He knows the heart of the Sadducees. And they're clinging to something that's not going to save them. What are they clinging to? They're clinging to the fact that they are descendants of Abraham. Those who were coming out to John were descendants of Abraham also. But they are confessing their sins and being baptized. The Sadducees and Pharisees simply want the baptism. They're guarding their bets. But they're trusting that they will inherit the kingdom of God because they're descendants of Abraham. John, knowing that, attempts to teach them, no, you're clinging to something that's not going to save you. God is doing a new thing in his Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Not only does he call you to repentance, but he does call you to conversion. Each of us, no doubt, I guess I could doubt it, if you've never been baptized, maybe you have never been converted. We are converted through hearing the word of God by being baptized. It's a gift of God that he intends all people to have. The gift of Jesus Christ is a gift God intends all people to have. And each Advent, we have the opportunity to prepare our hearts and our minds once again to celebrate our greatest gift, the gift of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's already come. He's already here. And yet we celebrate his birth. Why? Because we recognize it's the greatest gift we've ever given. The reason that we buy gifts for each other, hopefully, is because we reflect the love of Christ to each other through that gift. We, in Advent, just like the Pharisees, or just like the lost sheep of Israel, are called to focus once again on our greatest gift, the gift of Jesus. And yet we already have it. In fact, Jesus promises, not only am I with you and for you, but I'm in you. He's in us, in the Holy Spirit. Wherever we are, God is with us, for us, and in us. And he calls us to be his gospel lights. We, especially at Christmas, have the opportunity to recognize and be his gospel lights wherever we are. People are open to hearing and being invited to know Jesus. It's what Jesus calls us to do. In fact, we are here today because the Holy Spirit has brought us here. He brings us here to hear God's word, to receive his gifts once more, to be built up by those gifts, and to live it out in our daily lives, being his witnesses wherever we are, being his hands and feet wherever we are, inviting, encouraging everyone to receive the gift we have in Jesus Christ. It is what John calls the lost sheep of Israel to return to. To return to God. To receive his gifts. And to follow him. We give thanks and praise to God that we get to follow him. We don't have to. We get to. And it makes all the difference in our daily lives. It gives us meaning and purpose for all that we do. In Jesus' name, amen. And we rise for prayer.